is our dream that is going to die. Great idea, but not in this space. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, anyone else over there down?
Good evening. My name is Sarah Ryan. I am your other neighbor to the south. 20-acre parcel right below. I'm not going to lie. I love what you're doing. I have a farm south. I firmly believe you can farm in the rocks. It is possible. I would just ask if this does pass, for some provisions for noise, to please make it to where it's like a 9 p.m. end time for noise restrictions, and then maybe don't start that until like 8 a.m., from 9 p.m. to 8 a.m. So I'm asking for provision in the special use permit because I just have a feeling this is going to go through. I think it's going to be good for the area. I think it'd be really cool if you guys could cut through if there is some type of an easement for a separate access in that area. And also, I'm just going to come in for a personal thing and say, if you guys have trails, we would like to use them as well as your neighbors. That would be pretty cool.
You're welcome.
Yeah. That's the only provision that I really care to add to that if this goes through. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Hutchison, 175 Fisher Spring Road, and also the seven lots surrounding it. We've kind of built the same thing that I think the Hallways and others have built, is an oasis in the middle of a lot of stuff. We're having that same thought process now. Do we build on to what we have, or do we pause? I would love to present less emotion and more black and white objection. Mr. Tim did note that in item 4 of the conditional use permit that there's noise and odor and stuff, but it actually starts out the proposed use is compatible with the adjacent use in terms of scale, design, operating characteristics, including but not limited to hours of operation, traffic generation, lighting, noise, odor, and duties and external impacts. So this area has nothing of precedent. This is really like a C2 zoning. If we were to go before and rezone the property, it's a C2 in all likelihood, maybe a C1. But the conditional use is would have to be so specific to be able to address the plan that's been put before us. So I love the project. Beautiful family. I'm a Georgia transplant too. We love where we live. I think my problem, number one, is that
Sir, you need to address us, please.
Okay, sorry. I'm a former developer turned Chick-fil-A franchisee. And every property I've ever developed in Georgia, in Taney County, in Stone County, and in the city of Branson, I've followed the process of permitting, of communication, and of doing things right. And so I know that there's been character witnesses, and those are all wonderful things. But my concern is that if something is not so specific in the CUP that, you know, we say, well, the motocross track is just a personal use, but it's on the development plan. We hear that the walking trails will be open to the public, but you have to have a code to the gate. And we hear the restaurant will be publicly offered, but when it's open. And so I think, to me, there is just too much lack of clarity. So we've heard trust, but verify and proceed with caution. I would actually say pump the brakes and create some clarity before we proceed with caution. I know that's a potential financial impact to the applicant. I totally understand that. But sometimes we have to pump the brakes to do what's right. And I think that is my concern with the project. And I think that it has potential to be a great project. But I also think that the timing, the lack of permitting, the lack of clarity even shown here tonight is concerning. And so I think there needs to be more clarity. So it's not trust but verify and proceed with caution. It's pump the brakes and get some clarity. Thank you.
Thank you. Here comes the closer.
I'm not a closer. Not at all. I didn't intend to be last. I got up to go to the bathroom and someone took my seat.
That's what happens.
So, anyway, my name is Jill Lumberg. I live at 134 Summerbrook Lane. And as everybody said, I'm very concerned about the traffic on Jefferson. It just does not handle that. 150 spot parking lot, no way can we handle that traffic. I mean, some of it's stuff about the trails and all that's great, but you just can't do that with the rest of everything we have here. We're a residential area, and he wants to put a business in there. And that just, it just doesn't work right for me. It just makes no sense that you can do that. And I also wonder that if you open it up, like people have said, if you open it up for him to be able to do that, then what other businesses can we have back there? And what other businesses are we going to do? And what happens if his thing doesn't work in a couple of years? He sells it to somebody else who puts a much bigger thing there. I think it should just stay residential, and, you know, we can just, you know, not have all that traffic on Jefferson. That's my biggest worry, is all the traffic on Jefferson. And I think it should just stay residential like it is.
Thank you. Is that everyone? Y'all ready to get back up? Respond yes, back?
Sure. Just wanted to address some of the questions about utility easements. So included in the conservation easement, there's other easements for utilities and so on and so forth that pre-existed us completely. And so there is a, you can see on the plan right there, there's an electrical easement that comes down from Jefferson into the property, and then there's another set yellow line toward the south that was existing as well. So those were pre-existing, you know, long before we ever knew anything about this. From a sewer standpoint, we're actually meeting and talking with the engineers with Bull Creek into tying into the sewer main for that sewer, and all that's going through the process. We're going through Bull Creek. We're meeting with their engineer. We're providing all the information, so on and so forth. So that's going through all the typical process. Power, it's White River, and they already have electrical easements into the property. And so as far as that's concerned, there's nothing new adding to any of that. And let's see. Trying to remember what your other question was regarding any of that. And water, there is a water line extension that's proposed. It's been sitting with the County Water Department for approval for 12 weeks. And so they've had that plan designed by engineer of record. That's a 8-inch water main extension that would also include a fire hydrant towards the main building. And there's, you know, as far as my understanding, honestly, we say there's been lots and lots and lots of construction. There's a barn that's standing now. There's been grading that's been within the permitted area that's part of the LDP. There's been two ponds that have been dug that are part of agricultural process. These structures, as far as our understanding was, we went and we submitted applications for permit for those structures. Didn't hear any. We submitted that, I don't know, 6-8 weeks ago, and thought everything's good to go, so we proceeded. And so the only thing that, from my perspective, that's out of bounds on that end is foundations for the main building, which is within that little five-acre area that's within the excluded area for the easement, for the conservation easement. So I know it sounds like a lot. I know that there's, you know, there's sound with guys going through, making little walking trails, and I understand about the echoes and things like that. And but honestly, on the back side of that is going to be people walking and riding a bike. Yeah. And
hey, sorry if you can speak.
Okay,
to us.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And I think that's it. So if you want to finish.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's been a real blessing to be able to just share the plan with you, whether you approve it or not. I just want to talk about the biggest thing. It seems like traffic. It seems like the number one thing on people's minds. So I'm not a traffic expert at all, but, of course, I did my own amateur due diligence on traffic-wise. And based on what I know today, we expect traffic to be modest. Here's a breakdown of low, moderate, and high estimates across all the operations. The RV and camping traffic, it's very low turnover. And what I'm saying, and I'll explain that in a minute, the low estimate will be arrivals and departures per day, 4 to 6 vehicles. Most guests will stay several days, full weekends, or week long. Moderate estimate will be arrivals and departures at 8 to 10 vehicles per day. High estimate peak season arrivals and departures, 12 to 14 vehicles per day. It's still extremely low compared to any commercial campground. I've got an RV myself, and I've got a pull behind as well, and I have no problem coming down the road and turning in, just me personally. But we do have plans to widen that. There'll be an exit at the top, and people can turn on, and there'll be an entrance and a sign to where people know they don't go any further, turn right here into Restora. So the actual road itself is not that far down Jefferson, and the big apartment complex that's there, there's like 3 entrances into that. So people can use other entrances as well for that big apartment complex. So most people are just going to be going by the fire station, by the storage building, and then by a couple of the neighbors that already said that they favor this, and then taking a right into the property. On the restaurant and smoothie bar traffic, this is breakfast and lunch only. This is not a high turnover fast food environment. This is slow pace, reservations only. It's a low estimate of 20 to 30 cars per day. The modern estimate is 40 to 60 cars per day, and high estimate busy summer weekends is 70 to 90 cars per day. Now, this is far below any typical commercial restaurants. The nature trails, local neighborhoods, and light daily visitors, the low estimate of 5 to 10 cars per day, moderate is 10 to 20 cars per day, and high is 20 to 25 cars per day. Most will be locals who bike, walk, and stay a while, and not really high traffic. So the total estimates per day and all activities combined, the low end will be 30 to 45 vehicles per day, moderate is 50 to 80 vehicles per day. The highest season peak is 90 to 120 vehicles per day, and this is still significantly lower than a gas station, a fast food restaurant, a convenience store, a grocery marketplace, and a typical commercial development. All of those would produce about 500 plus cars per day or higher. This project is one-fifth of that volume, actually one-fifth to one-tenth of that volume. So the summary is, based on everything we know today, our daily traffic is expected to be quite modest, far below the level of typical commercial development. And the RV park has extremely low turnover since we don't allow one-night stays. The restaurant and smoothie bar operate only for breakfast and lunch, no dinner service, and they draw slow-paced wellness guests, not high-volume fast food traffic. On top of that, once a car actually turns in, there's 2,200 feet from when they turn in to where the parking lot is. So there's no chance of somebody backing that up. And I heard the comment on as far as the gates being open or closed. The gates are open when either the restaurant or smoothie bar is open. That's when it's open to the public. And when those gates are closed, that's only for people that are coming, for the people that are staying there on site. Even at our highest estimate, we remain significantly below the traffic of any comparable commercial use. Our goal is to keep this a peaceful, low-impact environment for families and for our neighbors.